Capital outlay are the smaller items, not the capital improvement, the big projects. This is everything from desks and computers to
desk chairs,
slide cars,
desk chairs.
Chairs.
Every budget, desk chairs.
We do include an appropriation of a little over $800,000. That's actually pretty good in that respect, because the annual base funding for this is usually about $600,000. But we did within the last month get notice that our state-exempt computer aids were going to be up substantially. We did not want to use that money in the general fund side, because if you remember 2 years ago, we presented the budget to you in the very first meeting. We had to come back, and we had exempt computer aids were cut by over $200,000. We had to come in at your first meeting and make that reduction. So since then, we've spent a lot of time learning exactly what influences and how it happens, and it is a very highly variable fund. So we've picked a safe budget level, which happened to be where we were last year, continued that in the operating budget side of the general fund, and anything above that we're going to put towards one-time capital items. But in this case, we put in the capital outlay fund and added about $155,000 extra. In that recommended appropriation, it is $50,000 of contingency, and even if we use the whole contingency, we would still finish the year with a fund balance of about $87,000. And with the budget modifications, that $87,000 actually becomes contingency as well if you need to use it for something during the year.
So those numbers aren't supposed to add up to the 800. The 809, 646, the 600, 155, 50, 87 don't add up to that?
No. What you're seeing there is if you take the 600 and the 155 for 755, you can see we're using, to fill that difference between 755 and 809, that's either existing fund balance or projects budgeted for this year that we think either won't be completed or will come in under budget.
Okay. Thanks.
Equipment replacement fund. I think you're all familiar with that. That's where we fund for some larger pieces of rolling stock. Generally, it's rolling stock, so that we can pay for it over many years instead of having to come up with these larger items all at once. Its annual revenue is just short of $600,000 itself, but that's not fully funded. If we wanted to consider it being strong enough to fund the depreciation on all the items in there on an ongoing basis, we're only about two-thirds funded from where we'd want to be. But our expenses for this year are only about half that, about $300,000, a tandem axle dump truck, a flat bug truck with a lift gate, and an evidence crime scene squad. The capital improvement fund, again, this is, we said this last year, but since most of TID 5 carried over, we can say it again this year. It's the largest spending plan in many years because of TID 5 carrying over. You can see the resources there. The $5.6 million in new debt will add new debt service levy in future years, and will be a impact on added property tax levy charges, because debt costs are outside of the scope of the levy limit. There's landfill siting fees included. You can see the $14.5 million from TID 5. And don't let the $150,000 donation from Historical Society worry you. We put $150,000 in revenue and expenses just so it would be bigger than what would possibly be needed for what's left, so that we didn't have to do any small budget modification. So we just planned both of them bigger. Capital Improvement Fund, the expenditure side, what you'll see in there is three-quarters of $1 million for reconstruction the Drexel and South 51st Street intersection, $1 million in infrastructure for the Ross at Home project, $100,000 for planning replacement of a lift station. The lift station itself is much more expensive than that, but this is that would be done in a future year with planning and engineering this coming year, $19 million for ballpark commons. There's $1.3 million in parks projects. Just like we stated in this year's budget, we don't necessarily anticipate all of them will get done, but we appropriate for all of the ones the Park Commission and Common Council have looked at, because we need some of these to happen or we will be refunding levy. We've been saying that for a while. We passed something to give us some extra time because we're already beyond the initial statutory timeline. So something has to happen, and so we've budgeted all the ones that have been active on the table, and they're all itemized in the capital improvement fund, what's in there. Each year we put $500,000 for sewer and water projects that are that may come into play. There is $191,000 for a police department shooting range, and there is $100,000 for a fire department station alerting system. $100,000 is not enough to fully fund that, but it does sort of keep it in play, keep it on the table. We have been working with the department and members of the union to try to identify exactly what can be done. So this budget process came up in the middle of that process. So this keeps it active, but it probably doesn't necessarily move it forward. But the project still has more work to do anyway. So, but there is $100,000 funding listed in the budget for that.
And that 191 is not for a new shooting range. It's for replacement of the guards, the steel guards that protect the officers from ricochet bullets.
Mayor?
Or Lum.
The million for Ross and Holmes project infrastructure, is that going in and coming out?
Yes, because that's funded by MMSD.
Okay, thank
right?
you.
No, that's funded by our water utility. Well, it's water replacement. This is the main replacement project.
Oh. Okay. Different project. Okay. Thank you.
I'm thinking like you.
You're right.
Development fund, which is our term for the impact fee funds. For 2018, there's 644,000 impact fees expected to be collected. Debt service support of about 450,000 is appropriated, but it's not necessary that all of those are likely to be available. In other words, if there's not enough collected for the other projects, you know, mostly we talk about park impact fees, but we have Drexel Avenue, police station, fire station, library. Those were built and receive impact fees, and we're paying on that debt. And so funds collected here then get moved to debt service to make that payment. And they have been coming in for those other projects in at a bit of a deficit, given how slow development has been. So we've got it fully appropriated, but the debt service fund may end up short on that. But then we did also appropriate use of the impact fees, hopeful that those projects move forward. That includes, if you see that the use of the fees exceeds the 1.3 we had in the expenditure, that's because if we're hopeful that land transfer occurs and that's booked differently, doesn't show up as an expense in the other funds. So that's why there's a difference between those two numbers. We can talk about that later if that didn't make sense.
Yeah. Could you go back to the last slide? When you're looking at this park impact fees on the top being collected, and we know we eventually have to match some of this for parks, why don't we have some kind of plan set aside where we're building that so we're not getting into the situation that we're continuously in right now?
That 644 just isn't...
I understand that. I didn't say it was.
Okay.
But
I'm... Sorry.
I'm just saying that we have to use some of these impact fees that are collected for park projects. So shouldn't we have some type of fund set aside that's growing and accumulating for matching that so we're not in the situation that we have right now?
Well, that's what we do all of those projects through our capital improvement fund. So this fund right here where we list all the parks projects, that is the fund that has the you know fund balance that would be used. Most of our capital improvement fund, historically, we've been trying to fund that with no more than $2 million of borrowing every other year. And so that's where those expenditures would come from. We haven't been able to set additional money aside because of that or to do what you're suggesting. But one of the reasons we wouldn't be is because most of our other long-term funds are currently underfunded. The equipment replacement fund we talked about isn't fully funded. The road improvement isn't fully funded. So it probably doesn't make much sense to create another fund when we're not fully funding the two we have. But the capital improvement fund, we evaluate on a year-to-year basis. We do have the greatest flexibility with it. You do have the ability to to borrow in any of the funds, but this is the one where most of the borrowing proceeds generally go to, unless you're looking at the TIDs. And that's why we've had the plan where we anticipate every other year there's a potential for $2 million in borrowing. And those sorts of projects, if you're doing some through some borrowing, and we have other revenues in here, landfill siting fees, and we use all of those on the capital side and spread them around as we need to. But the state does keep that outside the levy limit, which does make it easier to keep some of these projects going. So if we continue to have challenges on the operating side, we can still look at moving things forward on the capital side through these other mechanisms.
On top of that, we have got the Mesquite land and the Green Seams land. That'll help that too.
If they get completed.
They're going to get completed. Please don't call Jesse.
So the debt service fund, we're currently at a property tax levy supporting the fund is $1.3 million. Our schedule going out year after year shows that same level in there. And that level, as we reported when we did the current year's budget, that's basically the lowest property tax that level that it could fall to without now having to specifically add additional debt levy that's specifically to support debt. And that is, in fact, one of the mechanisms that I talked about early to be able to increase our levy. Because that's a line on the levy limit worksheet, we always put in as a zero. We do have the ability to add some there. There are other ways to get back the directly past year's growth. This is a way where we can do it. When I say indirectly, this is what I'm meaning by adding debt service levy, which is outside the levy limit. Self-insurance fund is basically the fund that covers the cost of the active employee health insurance plan. So the actual expenditures are made directly out of that fund, and then they show up in the operating department funds through allocation of the city's share of monthly premium costs. Costs are restrained from the originally protected projected level based upon the plan design changes that you've already approved, and so that's where this fund feels the whole $400,000 in savings, except for some of the retiree portion. And the budget incorporates, as it's set up, though, this fund is still anticipates a deficit of somewhere in the $200,000 to $300,000 range. The intent is to get that phased out over a two-year period with the addition of a high-deductible HSA plan as a secondary plan next year. But so 2016, I believe, we had about a $700,000 deficit. The fund has sufficient funds for that, but we can't keep at that rate. So we've done things to bring it back, taper that off considerably. We could end up balanced. We think it'll be in that $200,000 to $300,000 range. We've got appropriation sufficient where that we cover the worst case scenario that could be that we're fully up and insured to, where if things occur after that, we have insurance. So that's how this fund is set up. Special revenue funds, which are some of the smaller activities or some of the unique ones, point a couple things out. Civic celebrations, we've added appropriation sufficient for a two-day event, which is what we anticipate. I know they haven't finalized it yet. And we, again, like I did in the with the historical barn, I then looked at those numbers and padded them a little bit so that we wouldn't have to come back and do a minor budget modification. They bring some budget stuff into you usually in November, but we should be covered with the appropriation level that we had here and hopefully not have to do a separate budget modification this year. Grant funds, we do have the next year of the five-year, $125,000 per year health grant for substance abuse, where we're working with the schools. One thing we also did, given the amount of exempt computer aids that we received this year, that extra bump, we took about $18,500 and eliminated the deficit in the St. Martin's Fair Fund. They've been running at a deficit for a number of years. This eliminates it up to the beginning of 2017. We recognize, just from seeing the work that's come to council, that they've been trying to sort of reshape that and reinvigorate that, and so we thought we'd give them at least a clean slate starting this year. It doesn't address any deficits that building this year, but it's a starting point, so it does have $18,500 of state exempt computer aids going into that fund.
You're welcome, John.
And then in general, grants and donations accounts were budgeted with an expense appropriation and enough matching revenue so that we can likely try to avoid budget modifications for these activities. We'll look to regulate activities in that account through getting a improved or getting a purchasing policy through so that you're understanding the level of control that you as a council want over that. Tourism Commission point this out because we haven't really had an expense budget show up for them. It isn't a budget that's under the authority of the Common Council by state statute. Tourism Commission controls their own budget, but they still must adhere to statutory reporting requirements. So like with the water utility, we'll include their information here. Revenues will begin accruing this year, but they don't have expenses currently planned for this year. And then 2018 revenues are estimated to be about $105,000 as well, which will give them a fund balance that they could spend by the end of next year of about $210,000. But they've estimated expenditures of $154,000, and they'll use that to pursue the tourism development and tourism promotion activities as required by statute. So the budget process, so it is still a work in progress. I mentioned that because we still don't even have all the state development numbers. You know, when we were, once we decide what final number is, it takes a few days just to pull all the tables and stuff together, and we were in the middle of that. No way to go back when we get the state published the expenditure restraint money that says we're $44,000 short. Now, I'm not too worried about that because the general transportation aids number hasn't gone out, and the budget has extra money in there for that. Kurt Witinski from the league says it's going up. I've looked at the formulas. I'm expecting that our increase in GTA will pretty much offset the other one. But it's these kinds of things. They continue to be a work in process. So some numbers change as we go through it, but the budget is always a fluid document. On the left side of the screen there is the calendar. This is the first official step of the calendar, but as you know, you've been working with the budget since June. Between now and your Committee of the Whole in October, 2 weeks, it's expected that aldermen can contact department heads directly with budget questions. You can also call Paul and I on any budget. And if someone needs a separate meeting where they want to sit down and walk through things in the evening or during working hours, we're happy to do that. As a committee, you start your deliberations at the Committee of the Whole on Monday, October 2nd. On October 3rd, we all put on the Common Council agenda as well, just in case you want extra time to keep talking about things. The last regular workday for the budget changes is Friday, October 13th, because we have to put the a notification in the newspaper for the hearing. The calendar we had approved said has Thursdays on there for like Thursday, October 19th. I understand the newspaper changed all their publication dates to Wednesday, so those Thursday dates are actually Wednesday for us. The publication of the preliminary budget would be October 25th then probably, and then Monday and Tuesday would be the regular Committee of the Whole and Common Council where they could talk about. You can, again, if you still have open items, you could agenda them. They wouldn't be agended unless the Common Council directs it. And then your special Common Council meeting November 14th is for the public hearing on the budget and adoption of the annual budget. During the deliberations, so this budget gets referred to the Committee of the Whole. That would be your action tonight on this item, refer the budget to the Committee of the Whole. And then within the Committee of the Whole, you're able to alter the budget that's presented to you if you want a different budget to go to the public hearing. So any changes you want, you can make then. Absent any changes made by motion, approved by the Committee of the Whole, the mayor's budget is presented to you, would be the one that goes to the public hearing and then is before you the night of the special Common Council meeting. So this is a little different than you're used to. and it's built into our ordinance that way. In most committee of the wholes, you don't take action, you don't vote on things, you don't make motions. It's only in the budget where you can modify what goes before the public by making a motion at the committee of the whole to tweak the budget and or to make any changes to it. They're all grouped together, and then we include it in the public notice as such. So in conclusion, the intent of this budget, and I believe we've achieved it, it finds a balance between increasing the property taxes and cuts in service. It employs various strategies to mitigate or offset the factors driving both needs. The 3% tax increase is historically very reasonable and merely implements the equivalent of the property taxes on new construction, and it only takes about two-thirds of those. You still have a significant portion of taxes over the last 5 years that would not be included and could stay on the table or be used in a future year if the Common Council so determined. And I think it's worth noting that maintaining a low property tax rate for municipal services will always be of paramount importance. We understood that going into this process, and we worked very hard to keep it that way. We get that that's a driving factor, and your history has proven that with your zeros. But it should not be enforced at the blind risk to core and essential services, and that's why we worked on that balance between how much could be on that property tax side of it and how much we could afford to cut on the service side. That's it, and what we can do is pass out your budget books. While Paul's doing that, I'll just wrap up with, so the next committee of the whole meeting is where we'll have all the cabinet level department heads at least here ready to be able to take any questions. That portion of the process is generally the sort of we move at the Common Council's direction unless you ask me to do it. So we'll have all the cabinet level department heads here so that you can talk to anybody about any question on the record. And Paul and I, of course, will be here as well.
Alderman Mayor, let's do Alderman Mayor first, and then Alderman Wilhelm.
So, Mark, the $615,000 overall increase in the levy, can you give an estimate what that translate per $100,000 on a tax bill?
I didn't do that yet. What I can do for that next meeting is put together a sheet, because the tricky thing is that with assessments coming into play and the manner in which the equalization changes are going to play into this, there's been some transfer of taxing responsibility, for example, from business properties to residential properties. So if I give you an average and just say $200,000 is going to pay this much different, you may find that residential properties have picked up a larger share of the overall tax burden because of what the state's done on the manufacturing side or because of changes in the marketplace. So let Paul and I, for that first meeting, figure out the best way to explain all of that, and we'll put something together for that meeting.
Okay, thanks.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Mark, I want to just clarify. So any budget suggestions, motions, changes, we're supposed to come up with in 2 weeks, October 3rd? From this evening, committee hold on the 2nd. So well, it's 2 weeks.
No, because you don't have to have just one meeting on the budget. So you have two different timelines in that come into play.
Friday, the last date is October 2nd, you're telling.
No, Friday, October 13th. Okay. If you want the change to be part of the budget that gets put in the newspaper and becomes part of the public hearing, the Common Council has to give that to us by the end of Friday the 13th so that we all have enough time to vote.
But that would require another meeting.
Yes. As far as
without having another meeting, the answer to my question is in 2 weeks or October 2nd without having another meeting. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Except we do put it on October 3rd's meeting as well, your regular meeting agenda.
Two things. One is I will not be here the week of the 2nd. Alderman, Council President D'Andrea will be taking care of that. I've got a business meeting. It's not anything. No subterfuge, no political intrigue. Mm-hmm. And again, I thank Mark and Paul for the hard work. I direct the council's attention to page, well, when you get your books, and the opportunities and threats page on page 12. I'm sorry, 13. Pay attention to that, please. And
like Roman numeral 13? Roman numeral
No, page 13. So is there a motion to refer this to the Committee of the Whole on October the 2nd?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to item I-1.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Licenses.
Approved. The first one is approved with the corrected application. The next two are approved with a letter, and then from color down to the end is approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
This is great. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Move on to item L. No. What did I say? I said that wrong. Licenses is H.
Oh, I did that. I knew what you were saying.
We did okay.
We did good.
Item I-1, vouchers and payrolls. Is there a motion approving the following? City vouchers with an ending date of September 14, 2017, the amount of $908,792.01, and payroll dated September 15, 2017, the amount of $377,766.96, and payments of various payroll deductions in the amount of $236,848.47, plus city matching payments. And estimated payroll dated September 29, 2017, in the amount estimated at $404,000 in payments of various payroll deductions, estimated $412,000 plus city matching payments.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
Motion carries. 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. Is there a motion adjourned?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.